Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means Go Out into the Deep, a one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Good afternoon, hello, and welcome. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you'll stick out with me for the next hour because I'm your host for the next hour, and I would like to share with you some thoughts about beauty. There's not enough beauty in the world today, and there's not enough talk about beauty. There's a lot of talk about ugly, but not enough talk about beauty. So I want to talk about that. And beauty encompasses more than looks, okay? And also, I would like to share a few brief notes from points from Father Blunt's Rosa Mystica retreat a week ago. So anyway, I'd like to begin, as usual, with prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. May the Lord richly bless our time together today. And I also want to add this part to this prayer, to that prayer. Thank you, God, for beauty, for harmony and proportion, for order, symmetry, and definiteness, and for the balance of order and disorder. Thank you for the pleasure beauty gives us, the pleasure to our eyes, ears, nose, touch, and taste. Thank you for oceans and snowflakes, for giraffes and ladybugs, for watercolor paintings and clay pots, for movies, plays, and photographs, for chirping birds and grand symphonies, for the scent of roses and the smell of rain, for the feel of clean sheets and a toddler's hug, for the taste of a hot cup of coffee or a cold bottle of beer. Thank you, God, for beauty in all its forms and the pleasure it bestows on us, for we believe that all the beauty we experience is but a faint reflection of you, O most beautiful one. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may not have heard this, but it is widely understood in the Catholic Christian world, and probably in most of the Christian world, that all the beautiful things in life come from God, because He is beautiful. The things that look beautiful, sound beautiful, smell beautiful, feel beautiful, are all from Him, given to us as gifts to enjoy in this life, and also love and patience and joy. Those are all gifts from Him, because He is those things, and He wants us to have the best life that we can, absolutely best life that we can. But it's really sad, because a lot of times we don't realize that and we turn away from Him. So I'm hoping that maybe during this hour I can encourage you to embrace our God who loves you and wants you to have the best life and has filled the world with so much beauty and helped us to create beauty, because we are made in His image and likeness. So let's see. Okay. Beauty, it transforms life. It transforms life. It lifts our spirits and it eases stress. And beauty is a word. I've told you before that the Lord gives me words at specific, His own timing. I don't understand it sometimes, but He gives me words that He wants me to focus on when I'm leading or on the radio. And so beauty has been one of the biggest words that He has given me in the past few years. And it came to mind last night. My husband and his sister Jean and her best friend Phyllis, we all went down to the Basilica. I think it's the Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul in Philadelphia. I get Basilica and Cathedral names mixed up because I know both. And so forgive me if I'm saying it incorrectly, but there is a light show down there at the Basilica. It's called Luminescence. And I saw it advertised. I really wanted to go. And it was going to end at the end of this month, which is just not very far away. So we figured out when we could go, and it was last night. And we went. The show was at 8:45. And that's late, yes, but we had dinner in the city, and we went over, and it was spectacular, absolutely spectacular. We weren't one bit sleepy or tired when we left it. What they did was this company put together a special arrangement along with some narration as a gift for the 250th anniversary of our nation. And in there, they also integrated some of the history of the Basilica and, you know, the history of the city. You know, it was a nice combination. And it was really, really beautifully done. What they do with laser lights and everything, you have to realize that they have measured everything in the cathedral. Basilica, I'm sorry, I don't know. Anyway, they've measured everything precisely so that they could set up the laser lights and all, and the projectors to be exactly within these, you know, crevices and the side altars and the ceiling, the dome ceiling, and the circle around the dome ceiling, the altar up front. Everything is precisely programmed to show this light show, and it's just stunning. Stunning. You know, it's indescribable. Indescribable. So I want to encourage those of you who haven't been. They decided that it's so popular that they're extending it later into the year, maybe even to the end of the year. So I do recommend that the best place to sit is from the middle of the church to the back, because you get more of a panoramic view. So I recommend that, but anywhere in the house is beautiful. But please, you know, treat yourself. Take your family, take some friends, and go down. Go down and enjoy yourself. It's when I was watching it, I was thinking of beauty. It raises your heart to the Lord if you're disposed to be that way when you see beauty. And I am. So all through the show, the music is lovely. Goes right along with the gorgeous light show. And the narration is brief. It's not through the whole thing. It's not. They want you to have quiet time to enjoy the show. But they do give you some history, as I said. So I really encourage you to go. But it brought to mind beauty. And because it was so beautiful. And it reminded me that Bishop Barron and his Word on Fire network is releasing a new movie or a documentary in the theaters in next month, in September. And I wanted to share a little bit about that with you. It's called Heaven in Stone and Glass. And I want to share with you first that St. John Paul II, Papa John Paul, in his letter to artists, and he was addressing all artists, builders, painters, etc. And he said that art and beauty bring faith to life. Art and beauty bring faith to life. It makes our faith become real. And I was thinking about that. And I remembered that when I went to Italy for Mother Teresa's canonization, and we had a lovely young woman meet us that knew one of the other women with us. She met us, and she arranged our transportation from the the airport to our Airbnb. And she told the driver to go by St. Peter's Square. And when we ran around the corner, and there was St. Peter's, I just got big, giant crocodile tears in my eyes, because I am a Catholic convert. I joined the Catholic Church in 1999, and I had never been to Italy. And there, basically, the first thing I saw was St. Peter's Square. And it meant so much to me. But we were in Italy and for 12 days, I think it was, and we went up to Assisi, which was spectacular. I can't wait to go back there again. That's where St. Francis lived and died. And we went to Amalfi, the touristy, beachy coast, which is spectacularly beautiful. And there's nothing like sitting on a veranda having delicious Italian coffee, looking out over the sea with its beautiful blue water and the houses and buildings all built into the side of the cliff. It's just spectacular. Beauty, beauty, beauty. And so everywhere I went in Italy, there were tiles in the street, religious tiles in the street. There were little, I call them porticos, I'm not sure what you call them. They're like little arched indentations in the walls, anywhere, everywhere. You just run into them somewhere, and there might be a statue of Jesus or the Blessed Mother in there. And, you go into restaurants. Most of the restaurants have at least a Padre Pio statue in there, and beautiful frescoes, religious frescoes on the wall. I mean, it's just amazing. Everywhere you look, our faith is alive in Italy. Now, there's a lot of people that live there that don't pay any attention to it. They couldn't care less about the spiritual history of the church or Christianity, and those things they ignore. But if you're like me and you're a person of faith who absolutely loves the Lord, when you go there and you see the history, how long these things have been there, how long our faith really has lived since Christ, it blows you away. It's so real. It's so enlivening. And so I really highly recommend that you visit places like that if you can. And if you can't, you know, this one of the things I'm really looking forward to seeing this movie that Bishop Barron and Word on Fire is releasing in September, because he goes to five major, let me see which one this says. Well, first of all, the fire at Notre Dame in Paris, the devastating fire of that church that had been there since the 1300s was just horrible, horrible, and it wiped out so much history. Of course, they've rebuilt it, and they've tried to renew it, but it was devastating. People were crying in the streets. I was crying. I'd been to Notre Dame. It was unbelievable that such a thing could happen to a house of God so beautifully constructed over so many years. And so it really moved his heart, because you never know if you're not going to be able to go to these places again because of a government change, or they're going to burn down for one reason or another, or they'll be vandalized and you can't go. So he wanted to document them so that we could visit them in the theater. I'm sure it will also be on TV. But he wanted to document those things, those major churches, five major churches in France. And so he, I guess they're all cathedrals. But anyway, it's coming out in September, and I can't wait to see it. Because if you've seen any of Bishop Barron's miniseries, it's always filled with magnificent music, beautiful camera angles, things that speak to your heart. It's not just facts. It reveals the beauty and the godliness in these things. And your heart sings. Your heart sings. One of the most beautiful things that I know of that he did was his Catholicism series. It was so spectacular that we brought it to our church and put it on the big screen. In fact, we were the first parish to offer it, and we had made plans in advance, and their production was stalled to a degree, so all they had was three episodes they could give us when we first started. But we were happy to have them, and they were so kind to do that. And then as we were doing those one a week, they were able to finish up more and more and more. But it's spectacular. Spectacular. Makes your heart sing. So if you get a chance to watch that too. But I hope I'll see you at the movie in September. It's, let's see. It says, rooted in the physical event of Jesus Christ taking on human form, we call that the incarnation. Barron emphasizes that when the church creates things, when it creates great art and architecture, we are giving testimony to that incarnation of Jesus through which God has signaled to all humanity his enduring love for his own creation. And these cathedrals all have scripture engraved in them, and in the stained glass windows and the statues, and even there's like crosses and various things carved into them and in the floors and stuff. They speak volumes of beauty about our faith. So he was motivated by the fire at Notre Dame, but he always has told us in everything that he's ever really done about the beauty of God and the beauty of creation and the beauty of architecture and the beauty that man creates through the mercy of God for God's glory is magnificent. God's hand is in it. You can see it. So anyway, I wanted to go a little bit further into beauty. When I was a young woman, I was very fortunate. I was curious about making things as beautiful as possible in my life within reason. I'm not talking about spending $1,000 on a table or anything like that at all. And I came across a book called Living a Beautiful Life, 500 Ways to Add Elegance, Order, Beauty, and Joy to Every Day of Your Life. It's by Alexandra Stoddard. Since then, I have probably 10 of her books, and I have met her personally, and we have corresponded. And she is by trade, or was, she might have retired by now, I haven't been in touch the last 5 years. She was by trade a very famous interior designer in New York City. And she just has such a marvelous attitude about creating beauty in your everyday life, in the very little things of life. For instance, she says, don't buy, 10 blah mugs or 10 various mugs, just have one or two beautiful coffee mugs, tea mugs, that speak beauty to your heart. Okay? And so when you're out, if you see a beautiful mug, and it's like, that would make my heart sing in the morning when I'm having my coffee. And it does, if it's the right kind. Most mugs don't. It's rare, and when you find it, you get it. And then you get rid of the, you donate the other one that you've been using. So basically, little things like that, you know, set the table every night for dinner. Don't just throw things on the table. Set it nicely. Put some flowers on the table. It sounds a little silly in this day and age because people don't take time to do these special things. And I learned at a young age to do these special things. And sometimes I'm not good at it, depending on my schedule. But I know the benefit of it because I learned it years ago. And I try very hard to practice it. So anyway, I highly recommend it, Living a Beautiful Life by Alexandra Stoddard. And she talks about, you know, life in general, talks about making your bathroom an oasis without spending a fortune, your kitchen, a place where everybody enjoys being together and wonderful things happen, you know, your bedroom, all this stuff, as well as life in general. And it's really, really, really a wonderful book. I can't tell you enough, but that, she also introduced me to Mother Teresa. So that tells you something about what I was supposed to, I was supposed to read her book. But she, I was a young woman who realized our house burned when I was 15 years old. And you know, when you're 15, you have treasures. Really, you know, as an adult, they're in some way silly. But as a teenager, they mean everything to you. Everything. And we lost pretty much everything, including our clothing, everything. And it was very devastating. And when I realized that you can lose anything, everything in a flash, I didn't want anything. I didn't want to be hurt like that again. I didn't want anything. I wouldn't allow myself to look at pretty things. And to have anything like crystal or anything like that, forget it. Forget it. It can be gone tomorrow and I will lose something again that I really, that spoke to my heart from its beauty. But over time, I learned how to reintroduce real life into my life. And the first thing was from this book. She awoke me to something so simple as having a little ritual of, in the morning, I'm going to get up and I'm going to get the newspaper and I'll put it nice and neatly on the table. I'm going to make some tea in my favorite mug and I'm going to sit down and I'm going to get up early enough to enjoy it. And maybe have a little pastry or an egg or something with it. And just start the day in beauty. And especially for me, in prayer. Liturgy of the Hours. So anyway, that started me on this adventure of appreciating beauty again. And looking for it everywhere I went. And so, you know, God is beauty. He really is. And there are lots of books and things that you can look for. This is what I read that prayer out of, is The Grace of Beauty, Its Mystery, Power, and Delight in Daily Life. The Grace of Beauty by Svoboda. She is a nun, I think. But anyway, it's beautiful. It says, in a world beset by the ugliness of war, greed, and injustice, we all need to seek, find, and let our hearts rest in the experience of beauty. Not the beauty found in fashion magazines, but the true beauty, ever ancient, ever new, sought by St. Augustine and countless philosophers, artists, musicians, poets, and holy people throughout the centuries. This beautiful book explores the mystery, power, and grace of the beauty our souls seek, the kind of beauty that evokes a whispered wow or heartfelt thank you, God. Our experience of beauty, says Sister Melanie, has the power to realign our mind and our heart toward the source of all beauty, our beloved God. See, when we seek beauty and we find it in everyday life, we have a joy that the people who sit around and think only about what's wrong in the world, who don't see the beauty anymore, after a while you become completely blind to the beauty anymore. And you might notice the sunset, but you're not going to notice the beauty, I mean, and really relish the beauty of a child's smile, or a dog's wagging tail, or a beautiful piece of cake, or some artwork, or even better, if you can go into cathedrals, or the new Shrine Adoration Chapel at St. Denis. Now, there are a lot of other places to go. My parish has a beautiful Adoration Chapel attached to our rectory. Been going there for years. We love it. Has stained glass from some of the churches that were taken out of Philadelphia or closed in Philadelphia and torn down. But they saved all the stained glass and the statues and everything. So anyway, I highly recommend that you go beautiful places. Fill your life with the beauty that's out there instead of watching the TV or being on your phone all the time and never seeing and experiencing the joy of beauty that is in this life. So the Grace of Beauty book, Living a Beautiful Life by Alexandra Stoddard. And there's another one that I love, Beauty, A Path to God by Anthony, I think it's Chiora, but it's gorgeous too. It's really, really gorgeous. So I recommend that in this negative, horrible time that we're living in, that you take up the cause of beauty. And let's see. I think there was a quote, if I'm not, we were made by God for beauty, for beauty. Anyway, I'm going to have to take a quick break, and so please don't leave. When I come back, I'm going to talk about I'm going to continue in beauty, but it's going to be a little bit different perspective. I'm going to reveal to you some of the notes from Father Blunt's retreat, Rosa Mystica retreat. And you know Father Blunt, exorcist priest, retreat giver extraordinaire. So please stay with me, and we'll tackle that when we get back. Thanks.
You're listening to In His Sign, Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-5 2906. Or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Hello again, I'm Rita Hauk-Lane, your host here on Duke and Altum, Go Out into the Deep with Jesus. And you're listening to In His Sign Catholic Network, and or watching on Facebook. Hello everyone. I'm your host for the next half hour. On the last half hour, we were talking about beauty and how important beauty is in life, and how God has given us beauty in many ways. But we can get hardened and almost blind to that beauty when we get too caught up in our culture of death, because it is a culture of death. Every day they try to tell you, especially politicians, to be afraid of something else. It's the end of the world. Or we're on our way to the end of the world. It's terrible, it's terrible, it's terrible. And they scare you to death, and it makes it to where you can't hardly function sometimes. At least some people I know. I choose not to follow that path. I know who I believe in. I know that He has a plan. If you study Scripture, especially salvation history, the world has always been up, the world has always been down, there's been disasters, there's been magnificent blessings, always, 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 up and down and up and down. Good, bad, always. And the Lord always comes through in the end, somehow. A lot of people have to suffer sometimes, and people even die sometimes, but I know that He has a plan. He allows things to show us. It's like in Scripture. I don't have my phone with me to look it up, but in the Scriptures today at Mass, the Old Testament Scripture, God was not happy with His people because they decided that they wanted to be their own gods. They wanted to make up their own gods in their lives. And I'm not talking about statues. I'm talking about making their own decisions about what was right and wrong, ignoring the Lord, turning their back on Him. He, in the Scripture, called it no God. You're no God a life. You're no God life. It angered Him and upset Him because He had given so much, and they chose not to remember that. They chose to move on. Like some of the people in our country today who want to cancel all of our history so we don't learn from history anymore. We just fly by the seat of our pants. So anyway, the Lord was upset with the people, and He gave them over to their own desires, their own ways. And He said, we'll see how you like it. And of course, we never like it because it's just chaotic. And one group has power over another group, and then that group loses power, and another group comes in, and they manipulate and change everything around. So basically, I stick with the Lord, who's been there forever, who has always come through in all throughout history with some magnificent offering, some magnificent rescue, etc., of His people. And my God, the one that I follow, calms the storms in life, who can actually change the weather, who can actually change hearts, who actually loves us so much that His own Son came to show us what our life should be like and how much He loves us individually and as peoples. So anyway, at the retreat, there were a number of things discussed, but beauty was one of them. And one of the things here is the terrible absence of harmony. Harmony. Um, when you lose the harmonies in life where things complement each other, actually fit together. Like in our government, I don't like to talk about politics, but for many generations, there was always this jousting going on between the parties. Always. But they would always come, because the people were first, they would always come together and say, okay, we can't just keep jousting. We have to do something. So let's work on some kind of compromise, or we'll agree with each other on whichever side is best, and we'll do it for the people. But what has happened over the last few years, especially in the last, 30 years or so, it's been all about power and jousting and my way or the highway, and very little has actually been gotten done. Very little. So, and of course, they want to blame each other, but they're both at fault. Both parties are at fault in one way or another. I have an opinion as to which one is more at fault, but I'm not going to share that here. That's not talking about harmony or beauty. But anyway, when there's no harmony in life, there's no beautiful silences and peace and enjoyment and joy. And so when God is perfect beauty, perfect harmony, perfect peace. And so the more we engage in this chaotic, negative, jousting, ignoring Him, becoming little gods of our own, deciding that we know what's best, right and wrong, in the world, in the government, and even in the church. We make little mini gods out of ourselves. So let's back off of that, okay? Let's start realizing that that just leads to more division, more disharmony. Let's start focusing on the beauty that's in the world and the beauty in the other, even if we disagree with them. So at the retreat, they were talking about fill your homes and your life with things of God, things of beauty. For instance, obviously, Bible scriptures, reading and sharing those together, praying the Psalms together, and sacred music. Play sacred music in your car and in your home, when instead of listening to all of the controversial music that's out there, and also the news 24/7, especially Gregorian chant. Gregorian chant, the devils hate, especially when it's sung in Latin. The demons absolutely hate Gregorian chant. So if you're playing it in your home or in your car, it drives them away. Consider this. I'm going to see if I can find it, because I had so many things here we go. Music is of God. Listen to classical music if you've never listened to it. I'm talking about the beautiful kind, not the rackety kind. It sounds like angels have created it. But music, especially sacred music, is precious to our peace of mind and beauty in the world, and it also drives away demons. And he said, think about King David. Think about David as a boy. He played on his harp. He sang and composed songs, the Psalms, before he became king. And if you've been watching the miniseries on Prime that is about David, from his youth up to being king. Before David became king, Saul was being tormented by evil spirits, and they show that in the miniseries. And scripture tells us in 1 Samuel, David would take the harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would be relieved and feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. David was playing the harp. He was also singing, probably. And Saul would calm down, and the evil spirits would leave him. From the music. David played, Saul found relief, the evil spirit departed because of the music. And that's exactly what happens. That's what happens when we play sacred music. So sometimes it's a little hard to get used to because you may not be used to hearing it. I happen to love John Rutter's, religious music. It's not instrumental. I love it. I heard it the first time on WFLN in Philadelphia, probably 40 years ago at Christmas time. It was magnificent, beautiful hymns that he has arranged that make your heart sing. And I bought them, and I have many of his CDs. And I also listen, on Pandora and Amazon Music, all those things. So anyway, I highly recommend it. John Rutter. Okay. But basically, music drives away the evil one. So, okay, let's see what else. Okay. Oh, so, it was... Scripture, Psalms, sacred music, prayer, and beautiful things. Not spending a lot of money, but little, simple things. Something like, napkins on your table that are beautiful. These things mean more to women than they do to men. But a nice walking stick for a man, there's a lot of, a nice tool that he loves to work with, or some music, or way of listening to music that really makes his heart sing. There's a lot of ways to fill your home with beauty, to fill your life with beauty. Just think about what really makes you tick, what really speaks to your heart when you hear it. Okay? Then, anyway, another thing that Father Blunt said is essential is not only prayer. We all know that prayer is essential. Some of us don't bother to pray, which is very, very sad, because that's how you get to know God. That's how you get to know what's the best route to take, what path should I take in my decision making, and all that. That's how you get to know those things, is through prayer. And so, it also protects you spiritually from demons if you're praying a lot. So basically, he says, pray together. Pray a lot and pray together. Let's see. Okay. We have united prayer. There is power in united prayer. Even Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Community prayer is extremely powerful. And so, prayer groups matter. Church matters. Families praying together matter. The rosary matters. I'm telling you things because I'm sharing with you the things that are really going to make life more beautiful for you. They're really, really, really going to increase the peace and harmony and beauty in your family life and in the whole world. I was at confession in Florida years ago, and my husband and I were having some challenges, not with each other, but in our world, what we were doing. And the priest looked at me and he goes, "Are you praying together?" And I said, "Sometimes." He said, "Start praying together every day." And so we did. And what a difference that made in our relationship, then and now. And so I'd like to pray even more together. But basically, Father Blunt said, keep your rosary with you. Don't leave home without it. All of the great saints have carried the rosary in their pockets or in full view when they walked. So it's important to have the rosary with you so you can pray it at the drop of a hat. You see an accident, start praying the rosary. You see something evil going on, start praying the rosary. It brings down enormous grace on you and on the situations that are in that you're exposed to and in the world. The rosary, more than once, has stopped wars because the bishops and the people would pray the rosary. So keep praying the rosary. And they said, mothers, keep praying for your children. It is impossible for you to be everywhere your children are. It is impossible for you to tell them what to do and how to do it and them listen, because they're going to do what they want to do anyway. They might listen some. But you cannot follow them everywhere. You can't prevent them making mistakes. You cannot force them to convert. And he said, remember St. Monica, St. Augustine's mother. For years and years and years, she prayed and cried for her son, because he was out in the world doing every kind of, you know, sinful is a almost kind word for the kind of things that he was involved in. And she just was devastated. But you know what? Those prayers paid off. He became one of the greatest and most profound philosopher, theologian, converts ever. And he was all in. It was profound and dramatic, and it was wonderful. So don't give up. Heaven was listening to St. Monica. Heaven is listening to your prayers, moms. Heaven is listening. And they also said sometimes your prayers, most likely all the time, your prayers are keeping your children safe from a lot worse things that could happen to them. So keep that praying. Then they moved on to fathers. You fathers out there, join your wives in praying for your children, for your marriage, for your family. All right. Before Israel had the organized Levitical priesthood, all right, before in the Old Testament times, before they had priests, okay, we see fathers and patriarchs of the families exercising priestly acts within their household. In other words, Noah built an altar and offered sacrifice. Abraham built altars and called upon God. Jacob worshipped and blessed. Job continually offered sacrifices for his children. There was also Melchizedek, explicitly called a priest of God Most High, before the later Levitical priesthood. The point is not that every father is an ordained priest. No, that changed when they had developed the Levitical priesthood in the Old Testament and then the priesthood in the New Testament. But the fathers have always been responsible spiritually for their families. You are called to pray for your children from your heart, deeply and passionately for your children. You are called to bless them. You are called to lead them towards God. You are called to protect the spiritual life of your home, not your wife, not your mother, not someone else. You, gentlemen, are called to protect the spiritual life and salvation of your wife and children. You. So many times you see young women with their children or without their children in church. You know they have children. And the husband refuses to come to church. That happened to me when I was little. My dad would not go to church when we were young. And so I would follow my mom, and my sister would go screaming and kicking because she didn't understand why Dad didn't have to go to church. And she didn't want to go without him. So anyway, you are responsible for the spiritual life of your children and your wife. So please take that seriously. And when you fathers, husbands, join your wife in prayer, look out. Look out. Tremendous grace. Tremendous, tremendous help in discerning what you should and shouldn't do. Decisions, how to handle things. Tremendous grace is released on your family when you pray together. When you pray together. The family is turning towards heaven as one unit, facing heaven, walking towards heaven together. There is nothing in the world that can top that for a family. Nothing. So anyway, they also talked about the rosary as being a weapon for our times. We have heard this numerous times. Padre Pio would always say, hey, bring me my weapon. And he meant his rosary. Because the rosary is a weapon, not a superstition. It's a Christ-centered prayer, along with Mary, his mother. The mysteries of the rosary, you know, there's five decades of beads, you know, ten in each decade. And on each decade, it's called a mystery. And the mysteries lead us through the life, the death, the passion and resurrection. I mean, the life, passion, and death and resurrection of Jesus, along with the early beginning of the church. So, Our Lady, it's not superstition. It is not a magic thing. It is a powerful spiritual weapon given to us to use. And so, Our Lady never points to herself. She always points to Jesus. Always, always, always. And the number one thing that I love that she said in Scripture is, do whatever he tells you at the wedding feast of Cana. She says, do whatever he tells you. That's the same thing she says to us. Do whatever he tells you. And we know what he tells us through sacred scripture and through the teachings of the church. Because the teachings of the church are all based on scripture. You might not know that, but they are. So, anyway, let's see. Okay, so we have, and remember, I've told you a million times about the Psalms. Pray the Psalms when you're happy. You can go online and search for, on the internet, search for the Psalms under topics, you know, coordinated under certain topics. So when you're joyful, you can look at the list and say, oh, here's a joyful psalm that I can proclaim and pray out of the joy of my heart. And then, I'm down and out. I'm suffering. Here's a psalm that's for suffering souls. Okay, so you can really pray them. And you pray them whether you're happy or sad, because the sad ones are sacrifices of praise, which pleases God enormously, because it's an act of faith, even when you don't feel it. Okay? And so we talked about the sacred music, especially Gregorian chant, and obviously how important prayer is. But on that same subject, we are to pray for our marriages and all marriages and for children, all children. Pray for priests and religious sisters. Because priests are under tremendous pressure and they are attacked all the time by the evil one. And it's not easy to be a priest today, as you well know. And so he said at the retreat, priests need prayer, they need spiritual mothers, they need families praying for them, they need places of refuge, places where they can get peace of mind and refresh themselves. They fight battles most of us will never see, and so instead of constantly judging our priests, constantly criticizing the church and the priesthood. Constantly, constantly, constantly pray for them. Pray for them. I also extend that to politicians and the leaders of the world. Because so many people, all they do is complain, complain, complain. And they don't say hardly any prayers at all to bring down the graces from heaven that could actually improve the situations. Please pray. Please, my friends. Please be an instrument of that. So, anyway, I don't want to do all of this because... Let's see. Here's... says here, Christianity isn't merely intellectual. Truth, goodness, and beauty belong together. David had his harp. The church sings his psalms. Gregorian chant fills monasteries. Benedict XVI sat at a piano and played Mozart. Because sometimes beauty reaches somewhere an argument cannot. Bishop Barron said a few years ago that if you're wondering how to bring the beauty of our faith to life to a friend or family member or even a stranger, take them to a cathedral, even if you have to say, you know, have them in the car and say, oh, I need to stop at this adoration chapel. I forgot something to do in there. Or I got to stop at the cathedral. I've got to go in. I promised to do something, pray or whatever, and I need to go in there. Please come in with me. It's a pretty place. You'd like it. And once they get exposed to the beauty of those places, I mean, I heard people in the chapel, the Shrine Chapel, the Sacre Coeur, Sacred Heart of Jesus Chapel, that's at St. Denis in Havertown. I've heard people who aren't even religious who have been deeply moved by that place. Just the beauty of it. The beauty of it. Beauty speaks to our hearts. It speaks to our hearts. And so don't let it pass. Don't pass it up. And first, last but not least, don't forget who you are. If you are a baptized Christian, you are a son of the Most High, or daughter of the Most High God. Okay? Don't ever forget that. It's not something you just do to your child or as an adult. It is the thing that brings you in to the family of God and makes you a child. Don't forget that. Where is beauty? Where there is, bring beauty. Where there is no beauty, bring beauty. And there will be beauty. Where there is coldness, bring warmth. Where there is hunger, bring nourishment. Illness, bring caring. Fear, bring reassurance. Ignorance, bring knowledge. Loneliness, bring companionship. Fatigue, bring relief. Discouragement, bring hope. Confusion, bring understanding. Anxiety, bring calm. Hurt, bring compassion. Mourning, bring comfort. Abuse, bring tenderness. No, where there's no beauty, bring beauty, and there will be beauty. Always. God bless you. I have to go. Please pray for us. We're praying for you. Take care. We love you. Bye-bye.